Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to go over a simple example of how to determine what to do with your property. This is, you know, a must know if you have any kind of way of making money with your property, right? It's determining an exit strategy for your property. So Jeff wanted to go over this, you know, just because it's kind of plain and simple, right, Jeff?
Yeah, actually, someone reached out to me a couple of days ago and asked for my advice, and I asked some questions, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to pose this example to you as if this was your property, Jonathan, and then let's just kind of walk through what some of your options are and what you probably should be aware of.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. So what I want you to do is pretend this is your house, okay, that you've been living in this house as an owner-occupant, and you're moving in the next few months, and you want to try to maximize what you get for your house. You don't need that cash right now, but you want to use some creative financing to perhaps maximize what you're getting for the property.
Okay.
So let's, here are the details of the property. It's worth about $400,000.
Okay.
Let's say that you owe about $310,000. I never found out what they owed, but I know that they were in the process of refinancing and they were getting rid of their mortgage insurance. So it's probably somewhere in that range.
Okay. So $400,000 is what it's worth, you said?
Yeah.
They owe $330,000?
310.
Oh, 310.
Yep. 310. Let's say that their monthly payment is going to be 1525 PITI.
1525.
Okay. Yep. Normal rents in the area are 1900 to 2000. However, okay, it is a 5-bedroom, 3-bath. 2-bedroom, 2-bath upstairs, 3-bedroom, 1-bath downstairs. The basement has been used as a rental.
Okay.
They were getting $1,200 a month for the 3-bed, 1-bath.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Okay. So this is your property, Jonathan, and you know, you're moving in the next few months. What are you going to do with it?
Okay, so I'm assuming it's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, excellent condition, doesn't need work.
Yeah, and if I wanted to maximize my cash flow a month on it and what I could sell it for, I would be looking to go find a tenant buyer.
Okay.
And
tenant buyer being, you want to use what strategy?
So I would use a contract for deed. Because
so then it's not a tenant, right? So it would be a buyer.
Yeah, a buyer, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So not a lease option, yeah.
Okay. So
just to clarify.
Why?
What was that, Jeff?
Yeah, I was going to say why.
Yeah, so the reason I would want to do that is, so if I can sell it on a contract for deed to a buyer, I can get a bigger down payment. So I can expect somewhere around a 10% down payment. Whereas with a lease option, I'm probably, you know, not going to get anywhere near that 10%, maybe 3% or something on a lease option. I can transfer the kind of the ownership duties to that buyer, right? So they'll be in charge of taking care of all maintenance and repairs on the property, maintaining the yard, paying the the utilities, so the, you know, water, sewer, garbage. So I can transfer all that. I don't have to worry about that. And then I can sell it for more. So for example, if this property is worth $410 and I'm financing the property, I can did I say 410?
Worth 400.
Yeah, 400. I'm sorry. I can probably sell it for 410, 420, right? Okay. That's what I could do. And then I can structure something where, you know, the monthly payments are somewhere around that 2000 or 2100 or 2200 even, payment, right? So that I can get, so I can, optimize my cash flow on the property. So that's my initial thoughts.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Okay.
Okay.
So first, if you did a lease option, would you net more money than if you do a contract for deed?
No.
The whole time. So whatever time frame that you go.
No, I don't think so. Because with a contract for deed, I can charge interest. So I can make a down payment up front. I can charge interest over that period of time, whatever that contract is set for, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. And then, you know, with the principal pay down that I get and the principal pay down that they would get, there's going to be a difference there. So I could, you know, get a payment on the back end as well.
So let's talk about that for a second. But before we do, what kind of term do you think, what kind of term would you be looking for? And keep in mind that, you know, at some point you'd like to get to this equity, probably more sooner than later.
Yeah, I would think a 3-year contract. And I would try to get my buyer to get it done in 2 years. So I'd want to hook them up with my loan officer and probably, you know, if they got some credit challenges, I'd probably want to get them into some kind of credit repair program up front. Okay. Just to expedite the process.
Okay. So now let's go back to which one would net you more, contract for deed or lease option. Do you think you can get the same price lease option wise as you could contract for deed?
I would think so. Yeah.
Okay. And instead of getting, you know, I'm just curious here. Let's run a couple of numbers really quick and see where we're at. So okay. Let's say you're selling it for 415. Is that fair?
Yeah.
And let's say you're getting $40,000 down, just to keep nice round numbers.
So financing
375. Is that okay. Right? Yep. What kind of interest rate do you think you're going to get?
I would want to charge like 5% or 6% maybe.
And when you start getting in these price ranges, you really got to pay attention to not really what the interest rate is, but what the payment is.
Yeah.
The interest rate doesn't matter. Not as much to the buyer. It's the payment.
Yeah.
So you're looking at trying to do this short term. So 5% would be about $2,013 a month.
Yeah, I got.
Okay. So are you okay with that? Getting 2013?
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I might bump the interest. I would want to make it kind of around that 2100 mark, I think, just to be a little.
Well, but remember, you're going to be reimbursed the taxes and potentially the insurance as well.
Correct.
Each month. So you're going to be making, you know, over $500 a month. Now probably close, almost to seven, I would think.
Yeah.
650-ish. And the reason that you would get the taxes reimbursed is because you no longer own it. The buyer now is responsible for those taxes. Okay. So let's just look at, you know, let's say that you are going to net $650 a month, okay?
Okay.
For 2 years. So that's $15,600.
Yep.
Plus you've got your $40,000 down.
40. Right? Yep.
Plus we've got to figure out a balloon payment. So it was 375, right?
Yeah, 375. 5%. 5%. Then we're going to go
24 months.
Yep.
Would be N. 24 months. Future value is 363,651.
And 363,651. Yep.
15,600 plus 40. Okay, so you would gross 419,251 for your property in 2 years.
Okay.
Okay. So really, all I did is I added up all your monthly payments that you were receiving. Now that's not a net because you're not netting that, but right. Yeah. You're getting $40,000 down, and then your balloon payment is added on. That equals $419,251. Okay, but let's take a lease option now. So let's take the same purchase price, $415,000. Let's say that you can get, let's say $15,000 down, okay?
Okay.
And what do you think we can get in rent?
21.
All right, 2100. Okay, now remember, they're not going to pay the taxes and insurance, you are, but we're going to pass on everything else, okay. All the utilities, all the maintenance, all the repairs. Okay, and we're going to do this as a 2 year as well. So at the end, so 2100. Times 24, it's 50,400 plus 15,000 plus, what do they still owe you?
15, what was their purchase price, 415?
Uh-huh.
415.
Well, except that you collected 15.
Oh, 400, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so you will be at $465,000 in 2 years. Now, maybe these aren't, you know, exactly apples to apples, oranges to oranges, because you really are, you probably are netting more money for this lease option than you are for contract for deed, because you're not having any principal pay down.
That's true. I didn't
plus keep this in mind. Yeah, you get to write off the depreciation during those 2 years, so you're going to have a tax benefit to it as well.
Yeah.
You won't get with the contract for deed. But do you see why? Well, most of the time you are going to make more money with a lease option.
Yeah.
Let me throw one more thing into this that I thought made the big difference. He told me he thought that there would be some changes to the economy. I can't disagree with him, over the next 1 to 3 years. And I said, okay, what kind of changes do you think that you'll see? He's like, I don't really know. You know, that maybe prices start coming down, maybe interest rates start going up, and so that was a little bit of a concern to him. Is there something in here that, you know, I asked him how long of a term he wanted to go, and he said 3 years. Okay, 3 years was like the max. We decided to go 2 years. If we go 3 years, do you see a potential problem?
Ask that question again, I'm sorry.
If we decided to go 3 years on a term to a tenant buyer, do you see a potential issue?
Yeah, if you go 3 terms or 3 years rather than the 2 and they're not qualified at the end of that contract. Is that where you're going?
Yeah. What would happen?
Well, you'd have to, they would forfeit their contract and you'd have to take the property back.
No. Okay. So let's talk about right now, this is an owner-occupant property. So if you sell this property, you don't pay any capital gains tax.
Oh, okay.
It's tax-free. If you do a lease option, and let's say that you gave them 3 years, and for whatever reason, that they don't want to buy, prices have come down, interest rates have gone up, they can't qualify, what happens to that potential tax benefit? So if you go past 3 years, that would mean that you're no longer occupying property out of the last 5 years.
Then you have to pay capital gains tax.
That's right.
You don't get that first, that seller exemption of, was it like $250,000?
Correct. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I told them is that to me, lease option tenants are much harder to get financed. Because that 15 grand, that's fine. That'll help toward a down payment, but they still got to get financed, right? They've got to be approved for a loan.
Yeah. And
on the contract for deed end, that they need to refinance. They have a track record. That's going to help them. They have more money down. You have more money of theirs down.
Yeah.
And it's already a sale from day one. So it is tax-free for you. If they don't refinance in year two or three like you'd like them to, you decide what you want to do. But you're not up against the wall with a potential tax hit on top of it.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that's something
that's a great
thing
to think about.
You have to, if you've owned this property, if you've actually owner-occupied a property, which is a super good strategy that, hey, if you've been in a property 2 years and a day, and now you want to make it a rental for a while, you want to keep track of some dates because, and if you want to make it a rental for permanent, that's fine. But at least know what's going to happen if you do that, which is, hey, if I sold this, there's been a lot of appreciation over the last few years. And, I bought it at $50,000, it's now worth $100,000. If I get into that capital gains, I got to pay capital gains on that gain. And, or as opposed to, I don't have to pay anything because it was my, primary residence.
Right.
It makes a big difference.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So even though you may make more on that lease option, I don't think the risk, especially with, in my opinion, trying to predict the future is impossible. Right. But
right.
I mean, trying to predict the future based on what's going on right now is truly impossible. But we have no clue what will be the case. So I told them, if you're set on doing a lease option, I'm looking at more of, a max of 2 years, but typically in my experience, 2 years is like the absolute shortest amount of time that you can give a tenant buyer to help them get qualified for a loan.
And,
in most cases, I don't know if they're going to get it done. And I kept asking him, do you want to be worrying about this property while you move, across the country? And he's like, no. So you've got to figure out which is going to outweigh the other. And to me, it's an easy decision. I would just sell on contract for deed like you initially thought. I'd get that big down payment and I'd feel very secure. And, I'd just collect on my note.
Yeah.
I might not make the absolute most money I could on this property, but this is shut it and forget it. The only issue I've got to worry about is, hey, is my buyer making the payment that they need to every month? And if not, I've got a lot of their money. I'm okay taking this property back.
Yeah, and do it again for another $40,000.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that was a great comparison, and I guess my initial thought wasn't to compare the two. I just think, if you can sell on a contract for deed, along your thoughts there, that you just, there's really more security for you, I think, in a contract for deed, because you're, you have a buyer that's a lot more vested in the property.
Again, it becomes about your business model, right? And what I would tell most people is that you're probably going to have a mix. If buy and hold, if passive income is your business model, that there's some that you'd probably like to have on lease option, and there's some that you'd probably rather have just collecting on a note. And just know that you give up certain things by doing each one. You know, but there's some inherent risk with each one. Lease option, you give up the depreciation. You get to keep the depreciation. Contract for deed, you give up the depreciation. Contract for deed, you get a bigger down payment. Lease option, typically you will get a smaller one. And again, that might be market to market, but I'd want to know. And if this was my owner occupant, and he said, you know, they made that, I think he had a fire and a lot of the house got rebuilt like 5 years ago. So it's a much newer home. So he's probably got quite a bit of equity. I mean, I just made this up that he's got, you know, 90,000. But you know, he might have 130 or 150,000. The more equity he has, that the worse that tax consequence would be for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, guys, I hope that really helps you determine what strategy to use if you have a house just like this and you're in the same scenario. So if you have a home that you've purchased and you're looking to rent it out or sell it, and you're trying to decide where do you make the most money, well, it's probably going to be with a lease option. And then, but if you run the numbers, just as we have in this episode, you can really compare the two side by side and figure out, okay, you might gross a little less with a contract for deed, but you have a more vested buyer. You can get a bigger down payment up front, so there's more security in it. And again, like Jeff said, you just got to weigh what your business model is. Is it passive income from rental properties, or, you know, do you want to kind of give up that ownership a little more and just collect on a note once a month? And I think I would rather collect on a note.
You say that now, but if you were in a super hot market like you have been over the years, you know, you're probably thrilled if 3 years ago you didn't sell on contract for deed, and you lease optioned, and now your tenant buyer is saying, well, I can't buy, or, you know, they've already exceeded their term, and you're like, not a problem, this property went up by 50 grand. You know, it really depends. That's why I'm saying that most people would probably want some kind of mix. That way they are getting some tax benefits. They are getting potential benefits from appreciation. Maybe not. I mean, you could have all your lease option tenants exercise their options, in which case you're locked into a price, you know, from prior, but that's not been my experience. A very small percentage actually exercises their option without the help of you, or a mortgage broker or credit repair or whatever.
Yeah, there is a very small portion of people that do. I don't know what that percentage is. Do you?
I was doing more of them, I would have put it as low as 25%. And based on where lending guidelines are right now, I would doubt that it's much higher than that. I know that sounds like a super low number, but even if it were 50%, which I don't buy, but you know, there is a direct correlation with how much money you get up front with whether, you know, where this goes. The more money they put up, the better the chance that they're going to do everything they can to get financing. Less money, less likely they're going to get it financed.
Right. Cool. All right, guys. Hope that helps you out. If you're in this situation or considering selling a property, And keep in mind, you know, the market really matters. But it's hard to predict that, especially right now. I mean, you know, if you were to do a lease option, prices could go down in the next 2 to 3 years with all the foreclosures that hit the market. Whereas a contract for deed, you're locked in at a price, you know, whatever that contract states. So, guys, if you want to reach us, you can do so on our hotline, 877-409-8090. You can, if you have any questions or comments, you can leave them there, or you can hit us up on Facebook, the Creative Financing Podcast, and Instagram. If you want to get a step-by-step video on how to structure these creative